The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Vuori. I've been living in Vuori lately, especially my favorite, the Vuori Core Short. They call it one short, every sport, and I get why. Whether I'm working out, grilling, or running around town, they're unbelievably comfortable. Get 20% off your first purchase at Vuori.com/Waddle. That's Vuori.com/Waddle. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions. The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Vuori. Get 20% off your first purchase at Vuori.com/Waddle.
Broadcasting live from the Chicago Board of Trade, this is the home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Come on, Jesse.
MLB insider Jesse Rogers.
Jesse Rogers.
Jesse Rogers.
Jesse Rogers.
You found out that you were going to be a Cardinal how, Tommy?
Jesse Rogers.
Joins Waddle and Sylvie.
Look like you're swinging for the lake there.
Tyler, put out a poll.
Call her daddy. What is it? Call my daddy.
I'm a big believer in protection.
On ESPN Chicago.
It's been a busy last week. It's been a busy baseball season for Jesse Rogers. His youngest went off to college. He's been covering Cubs Sox. He dropped another, I don't mean good column, difference-making column on the front page of ESPN.com. This in the wake of, being in the draft room with the White Sox. Now this one on PCA that's making its rounds.
King Jesse.
King Jesse from Wrigley Field joining us right now. Now that we've put the White Sox and Cubs to bed, head-to-head at least for the regular season, Jesse. Maybe a chance in the postseason?
You never know. I mentioned that to Antonacci, the lowest key, subtlest guy ever, right? He doesn't really bite on jokes like that. I said, how about the deciding series in October? Because they've split the six games, right? And he's like, that'd be nice. I asked him about his catch at the wall today. I go, first question to him, I go, So, did you have a beat on that ball right away? He goes, which ball? I'm like, did you make more than one leaping catch at the wall today? He's so understated, but man, that was a great catch for a guy that doesn't play the outfield until this season. Wrigley Field, the wind was blowing out the first 2 days. It's blowing in. He's dealing with the ivy. He mentioned the basket. And then obviously just dealing with the ball and its flight, and he made a great catch. It was a great game. It was a great series.
Yeah, Jesse Rogers is always brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota Dealer Association. Toyota, let's go places. So, build on that, Jesse. Antonacci, Waddle and I were having fun watching Antonacci. He's a very likable player. But like you said, it never looks like he's always frowning. We were trying to describe the face, and it's not jerk face or dopey face. We can't get our finger on exactly how you would describe the face, but it's sort of the way he acts too in the clubhouse. Not that he's rude or anything or a jerk. He just, like you said, I think understated.
Yeah, it's a great way. I'm trying to figure him out as well. I think we can chalk it up to just being young. He just is trying to figure out where he belongs, and he wants to bring this old school style, and that's hard for a rookie just to do that. And he's taking all these hit by pitches and stuff and sliding and crazy stuff, and so I think he's just finding his way. My point is I hope his personality comes out more as we move along here in his career. Because right now it's kind of it's a dumb face, not a sad face, but kind of like a frown face, even though I don't think he's upset or anything.
Jess, how important was this win for the White Sox in their kind of their vibe? Now, they've been a team that has gotten down and hasn't stayed down. They've been very resilient. But after how they lost the last two games, was this one a really important one for them to get?
I don't know if it was important so much as just to stop the bleeding a little bit. And this is where we can – pivot to Jose Urquidy. I mean, what a performance. That was his best in 3 years. Those are his words. So, they are running out of pitching in different moments. Now, they don't reset tomorrow, but they have a makeup game. So they're still in the middle of it here. But we know they kind of had to punt a little bit in the first 2 days because of all these pitching issues. So it's not so much needed just to stop a little bit of the bleeding. And I want to make this point because I've been a little bit critical of the Sox not picking up a second arm at the deadline. I think we all have been a little bit considering they've run out of pitching here. But we also have to remember
The goal is to make the playoffs, okay? They don't have to make it by six games. They just have to make it. And they have a healthy lead right now. And if making it by one game and holding on to your top prospects is what happens here, I'd take that. If it's the opposite, you know, you make it by seven games, but you've given up a top prospect, that's a different, like, I don't know if I'd take that trade-off. So just making it is what's important here. And, you know, so I think just winning this game is nice just to stop the bleeding a little bit.
You mentioned your Keaty mentioning that this was his best performance in two or three years. Do you think they've unlocked something? Like, the one thing we talked about with Carmen, something that you and I and Waddle have talked about, too, through the Chris Getz regime, is they've done good work with the infrastructure of the front office and the scouting department, and they have good pitching infrastructure. They have good hitting infrastructure. They have found ways to get the best of some guys when other teams haven't. Do you believe, or does he believe, they may have unlocked something, or was this just a good game?
I think he thinks this was coming for him. He was pitching well in the minors, and the Sox just grabbed him at the right moment. I'm not sure that they've unlocked anything. But if you want, and I know you guys were on the air, but his sinker was moving exactly the way you want it to do. And it's fairly new for him. It's basically against right-handed hitters, you know, starts outside the zone and then curves back in, and you're frozen a little bit. I mean, I think it was Warner or Bregman or Happ, Warner or Bregman, they just couldn't believe the outside corner was getting called a strike, but it wasn't the umpire. Those were strikes, but they were starting outside. So I don't know if it's just one good game or they unlocked something. I think he feels like this was something that he's been working on. It was coming for him. But let's just say this. If this continues, that's a huge fine for them. And all of a sudden, it's just not Luis Castillo they picked up at the deadline. It's Jose Urquidy, who they got for nothing. Long way to go, though. Castillo has had one good one and two kind of okay ones, or bad ones. And you know, game one wasn't good here. And here's Urquidy with one good one. But at least it's something to build off of.
You mentioned, too, Braden Montgomery. That throw today may have been a big difference in the game, the way it was trending. He had a big hit, too. I think he was the one who had the insurance run where he drove in a couple runs. He's been coming on a little bit more. Do you see, like, the confidence building in him?
Yeah, it's slow. He's a rookie. It's going to take a little time, but absolutely, he's confident. He's everything you'd want out of a guy, but still needs experience. That throw was great. I think Tyrone Taylor made a mistake, actually. On first contact, he didn't go back to the bag right away. So he had to go back, momentum going back, and then take off, and he was dead to rights. Brady Montgomery's a four or five toolsy kind of player, right? He can do a lot of things on the baseball diamond. He just doesn't have the experience yet, especially at the plate. But you see the talent. That's why they called him up. He can handle the moment. And you can say that about a lot of those young White Sox players, you know, and they keep on coming once they need him most.
Jess, on the other side of the diamond, the Cubs take two or three from this really pesky, good White Sox team. Well, how do they feel about their team as things are shaping up?
I mean, fine. I think key thing is they held on to their depth. Most teams can't survive without their starting shortstop, even if Dansby's hitting ninth or whatever, but this team can. Nico Horner's already showed it in just a couple games. Made a great play again today. There was great defense in today's game. So they feel fine. I mean, Gausman, you'd like to see a better version from him. Clay Holmes got like 11 ground ball outs. He gave up some hits, yeah, but just that single run, really. Winning 2-3, PCA doing his thing. Bregman, though, I mean, that's kind of the key guy in the last few weeks, even more than PCA in some ways. He is locked in. I was talking to his hitting guy yesterday. Just, you guys can understand this, just the upper body and the lower body working together. You can get that as a golfer. Or you can get what that means as a golfer or a hitter. And finally, it's happening for him. And he's just on time with everything. I mean, that ball that he hit today is out most days, but the wind was blowing in. So you got Bregman looking good, Suzuki's contributing, PCA doing his thing, and you don't lose much with your shortstop. As long as they continue to get healthy on the mound, I think they'll be fine. They're starting to get guys back. I don't see why this won't continue in the right direction. Whether Silvy's wearing that jock and doing his jog to the station, I don't know. But you know that they're probably going to hold on to that.
We can only hope.
You can only hope. Yeah, but they're going to hold on to their first wild card spot. It definitely looks that way.
Yeah, I'm hoping I do that too. Like, they keep, every time you think they gain some ground and they're about to make the run, they take a little bit of a step back and the Brewers continue to win. Like, even though they're going through a tough road trip, they won big yesterday, 22-0. You mentioned guys coming back, Jesse. You have a list of people that I think Craig Counsell talked about pregame, and maybe information that you have on, like, oh, how much are they going to fortify? Who's available? Who's not? I think you have some Sox information too about Kyle Teal and Davis Martin.
Yeah. Do you have the list in front of you? I'm going to try to do this by memory. There is such a long list. It took like 10 minutes with Counsell to go through. I tried to memorize it all. Give me a name.
Okay. Well, I'm reading from your list. So Matt Shaw.
Okay. Matt Shaw starts a rehab assignment in the minors tonight. So that starts the clock to get him back. You know, you just have to, how many at-bats does he need? Is it 2 games? Is it 3 games? Is it 5 games? You know, they just picked up an infielder off waivers from the Mets, so they're trying to make sure they have enough there with Dansby down. So I assume Shaw would be on the shorter end of a rehab, you know what I mean, because they need him as a backup, but the clock is ticking. He's starting a rehab assignment tonight.
Ben Brown,
headed to Arizona, will face batters for the first time. It's basically one day at a time with them. If it's symptom-free, they move on to the next step. So batters in Arizona is a huge step if he's symptom-free, because you're using a little bit more energy and adrenaline when you're facing batters, right? And as long as that neck is okay, they'll move on to the next step, which is probably, you know, live batting practice here, eventually that rehab assignment. But first is hitters in Arizona.
Palencia.
He'll be activated on Friday. Not exactly sure what that roster move will look like. Maybe it's, again, that possibility of a side of the minors to keep them stretched out, or maybe we've seen the last of Savali or someone like that. But Palencia is back Friday. I do not expect them to be closing games, not the way Jacob Webb is pitching, but certainly he's going to be worked into getting big outs late in games at some point here. Remember in the playoffs last year, he was kind of their mid-inning closer, fifth, sixth-inning guy when they had Brad Keller going late. So Palencia is back on Friday. That could be a huge lift, but he's got to produce. He wasn't always, you know, looking great before he went down.
Waddle, we're not even halfway through the list.
I know.
Shelby Miller, this is a guy that they acquired on a two-year deal knowing that he would probably not pitch most of the season.
Yeah, his people have been talking to me for about a month about it and say, Jesse, be ready. He's sitting 97, 98. He hasn't even started getting going yet. And now he's the rehab assignment. That's going to be a little bit longer of a runway because it was major surgery and he hasn't pitched in a long time. You're looking at September for him, and maybe when rosters expand, it makes sense to bring him up. It could be, you know, every year there's that one or two guys around the league that hops in the bullpen for teams, and he could be. Maybe I'm being biased because his people keep telling me about him. He could be that arm in September. I mean, it's not for sure, but so far so good with Shelby Miller.
Yeah, you don't expect his people to talk him down, that's for sure.
His junk is no good. Yeah, I mean, his velocity's way down. There's no break on the ball.
Justin Steele. Is there any news on Justin Steele here?
Yeah, let's see if I can do this right. Yeah, facing hitters, starting to face hitters in Arizona. Maybe similar to Ben Brown. I don't know exactly the track after that, but his next step is to face hitters. No real timetable on his return, though.
Hobie Milner.
One more rehab outing, and he's probably back. And again, don't know exactly what that roster move could look like. You know, Thielbar looked good today, and Thielbar has either been lights out or awful. There's like been no in between with him. You know, I've been thinking that Milner would take Thielbar's spot. I think they're kicking that decision down the road as much as they can. And so another rehab outing for him is up next.
You have Swanson on the list. Is there anything new there other than the 4-week timetable?
Not really. He's just not going to travel with the team. He's going to stay back here as they go to the West Coast and just rehab here. So all signs are pointing to he's on pace, but it's very early. And obliques are really weird to sort of put a timeline on. So just that he's coming back here. He's staying back here.
There's still four more guys on your list. Cabrera.
Ever Cabrera, well, you know, he should be back off the injured list when he can be, but as a bullpen arm. I think we've seen the last of him starting a game this season.
Hunter Harvey, a name that we haven't heard in forever, you put on the list.
Tom Ricketts is not getting that $6 million back. Done. He's not coming back. Okay. He's not recovering. Hunter Harvey will not have thrown a pitch this year, and he's earning $6 million to do it, but you know, it happens sometimes. You don't love it. It just was not a great signing at this point.
Riley Martin.
Done. Not coming back either.
Same with Maton, right? And Maton's not coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just placed Maton on the 60-day to make room for the guy they picked up off the Mets. So, yeah, there's a few, two or three guys there that you're not going to see the rest of this year.
Jess, of that whole list, who do you think could have the greatest impact if he returned?
Well, my first thought is Palencia. I mean, obviously, besides Swanson. I mean, Palencia, you know, it's just not a lot of guys that throw 100 on this team. I was about to say in this league, there are more than there used to be. But on this team, they need a flamethrower. They do. Jacob Webb does throw a strikeout his share of guys, but to have two back there that can do it, I mean, Palencia would be the first thought. You know, I just don't know what Shelby Miller is going to look like, right? And you know, Holby Milner, okay, fine. But Palencia has got that live arm, and it hasn't been used all year. He's hardly pitched. So I would put him at the top of the list.
And then the two White Sox players that we mentioned, Teal and Davis Martin.
Yeah, Davis Martin threw a bullpen today. You know, had that blister issue. Like, I think he's going to be fine. And Kyle Teal taking batting practice. Next up is a running progression type thing and then a rehab assignment like within days.
So Teal is they can get him back. Teal can have a good closing kick here, hopefully.
Yeah, if he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, and who knows, maybe I think Martin needed a break anyway. You guys have talked a lot about Davis Martin. So maybe there's a blessing in disguise for him as well.
All right, before we let you go, give us the lowdown on the column on ESPN.com. It's on the front page. On the MVP race and the people, the players that you talk to.
Yeah, I tried to talk to a lot of players from a lot of different teams, so it wasn't just concentrated on, you know, a certain team or division or whatever, and I was able to do that. And overwhelmingly, his peers, his colleagues, think he, PCA, should win the MVP over Ohtani. And almost to a man, they cited his defense as the difference maker. And it was really interesting talking to some guys. If he played any other position besides shortstop, I don't think they would have chosen him. It's playing gold glove defense in center field, a premium position that is putting him over the top among his peers. Obviously, pitchers understand both sides of it, Ohtani hitting and pitching, but they also respect the fact that the Cubs have a guy in center that's going to help out their pitching staff. Now, I do think there was some recency bias. In other words, if Ohtani had sat out the first half, was pitching now, I think the voting would be a lot closer. But the pitching is such a in-the-past thing, at the moment at least, that all they're seeing of highlights of Ohtani are him at the plate because he DHs, and it's PCA on the bases. It's PCA in center field. And I think his peers and other players understand that. So I was a little surprised. It was overwhelmingly PCA, but then as I dug into it, maybe not so much because, again, players watch highlights and they see the box score. And, yeah, Ohtani's doing a lot at the plate, but so is PCA. And the difference is one guy's in the field and one guy isn't.
Well, Jess, we talk about voter fatigue all the time when this discussion comes up. Do you get the sense there's any fatigue from the players? Like they're tired of the Ohtani story and they, you know, the new young guy is somebody that they'd like to see win this award?
I think this applies to the voters who, you know, I could be one of them. I'm not. I have the AL Cy Young this year, and I'm glad because I don't want to, you know, I'm too close to it, whatever. But I think among voters and other players, it's not, fatigue about Ohtani. It's, you know, Rhys Hoskins, the quote he said, it's great to have someone else to challenge him. And Ohtani just being a DH has opened the door for PCA. So it is a form of fatigue, but it's not really a negativity towards Ohtani. It's just giving due to a guy having an incredible season who may not challenge Ohtani in the future if he's pitching and hitting again full time next year. And so I think that's it. I think voters and players are willing to give this guy his due when there's an opening for it. And there truly is an opening for it.
All right. Anything else, Jesse? There's a lot there.
No, I don't think so, except that the Sox really are happy to be able to reset their starting staff. That was something Venable brought up on his own after the game. You know, it just was such an energy spent weekend in Detroit. Now they can reset things with the top of the rotation and Sean Burke and Anthony Kane, you know, line things up a little bit better. So you got to give them a lot of credit for what's gone on during the stretch. And we'll see if Urquidy is like the answer to a solution there because they do need one. That Schultz, you know, spot is still kind of open. Castillo struggled a little bit. So the reset of the starting staff is key for the White Sox.
Jesse, great work all week. We appreciate it. Thanks,
Jess.
You got it, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Be well.
There he is. There's Jesse Rogers. Really good stuff. Brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. All right, coming up next, Wilbon's going to join the show.
Oh, I like that. Haven't talked to Wilbon in a week. I forgot. I thought maybe we missed him last
night. Well, we missed him yesterday, I want to say.
Yeah.
And we moved him to today.
Interesting. Okay.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I'm finished. Not yet. Not yet. But I just got to remind people, Charlie, if you missed anything from this brilliant show, you can always check out the podcast. The Waddle Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Viore. You can check it out on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to play you two. Remind me, Tyler, that we don't run out of time, that Yurko did one of those things again, that he is known to do. Repeating the same question like moments after the question had already been asked.
Just wanted to make sure Jack heard the question.
Reiterating is what he said. Yes. All right, Wilbon joins us coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Viore. Get 20% off your first purchase at viore.com/waddle.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right, Michael Wilbon, usually on Tuesdays. The old days we used to do Wednesdays with Wilbon. That feels like that. Any day is a good day to talk to Michael Wilbon. Sox win today 3-0, and Wilbon is brought to you by
HawkAuto.com. Looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle? Shop HawkAuto.com and search over 3,000 vehicles in 9 convenient locations. Find your next car at HawkAuto.com and by Northwestern Athletics. The gold standard for stadiums is now purple. Visit NUSports.com/tickets to see for yourself.
Wilbon, good to talk to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, what was the excitement level of this Cubs Sox series for you?
It's probably the most excited I've been about a Cubs-White Sox series, I don't know, ever. Given that it's only the third time in 140 years they could both at the same time make the postseason. Now, obviously, most of those years had nothing to do with Cubs Sox playing each other in a regular season. But this, I think the White Sox are, there's a tenacity about them, which is pretty impressive. And I told you guys a few weeks ago I was going to start paying deeper attention to the White Sox. I've been paying attention to the Cubs longer this season than I planned to when they broke spring training. But it was, it's riveting. I don't know how you get more entertaining. I'm sure White Sox fans are a little less riveted than those of us rooting for the Northsiders, but those two endings were just, unbelievable. And Pico Armstrong, I mean, look, you can never say an MVP race is done. I've seen these things come down to the last day. I've voted on them in the NBA when they've come down to the last day. If Shohei pitches, is he going to be pitching effectively or not? And how much is that going to weigh? There's a lot of stuff that the Cubs and White Sox are at the center of. And look, baseball, it's hard to be in a better place for Major League Baseball right now than when you've got the fan bases of the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Cubs, White Sox. It's harder to be in a better place than they are now going into this last 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I agree with the MVP race. It's still anybody's race. Do you like this comp? I said it on the show yesterday, then John Greenberg wrote about that today with the same comp in The Athletic. I was telling the guys that this reminds me a lot of 2010-11 with Derrick Rose against LeBron, where we knew Derrick was good. We didn't know if he was MVP good, and he proved it to the world that he was. And LeBron was the favorite, and LeBron went to Miami, but Derek won the award that year. Do you find the PCA coming into his own, becoming a superstar, and maybe beating out Otani, a similar type comp?
Yeah. very. And we also have to mention the factor that people won't want to admit, and I hope I'm not guilty of this when voting, and that's voter fatigue. You know, the voter fatigue, is there voter fatigue with Ohtani? I don't sense the same kind of voter fatigue with Ohtani that there was for LeBron, but the NBA has people that are so much greater celebrities. Not in Ohtani's case, he's the biggest celebrity in baseball worldwide by quite a margin. But in terms of usually the NBA MVP is the biggest celebrity in sports. That he and the Ballon d'Or winner in soccer. And so, yeah, I mean, Ohtani, I don't know whether baseball writers have voter fatigue or not. He's already won, what, four? This would be his fourth. He's won three.
Yeah.
And, no, he's won four. What am I saying? So they could already be looking at this and saying, okay, we want to move it on to somebody else. I think even if you ignore that, there are reasons, there are plenty of reasons that you can back Pete Crow Armstrong in any sort of MVP discussion.
Mike, big picture, what do you know about the Dodgers situation and all that's being reported and the impact that it may or may not have from your perspective on the upcoming CBA and the negotiations?
I don't know anything about it personally and specifically, and I'm not going to try to hide from, you know, Mark Walter being a schoolmate, a Northwestern Purple sure. person, and somebody I have a very friendly relationship with, and like very much. He and his wife, and you know, have socialized with them in Chicago, and he is a guy who's a Bull. You see him at Bulls games. People don't know Mark by sight like they know other owners, which is ironic considering he's on the Dodgers and the Lakers. But I don't know anything about it. I don't think I've been around a lot of sales of teams and a lot of situations with owners, which might have been called controversial. And I don't think they mean anything to players. Mm. And Tommy, you'd be better talking about this than me. I don't think players pay any attention whatsoever. I mean, maybe the most senior players on the team, maybe in a situation where you've got somebody like Magic Johnson, who's a close personal friend of Jerry Buss, or in his case, like a sister brother with Jeannie Buss. Okay, that's the great, 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 great exception. But if you're talking about your basic owners, in any sport, and the locker room faction and what they feel like and what they're going to do, I don't see it. I don't see any. Drag on a team in contention because of what the owner's going through.
And I know you've seen it because we've seen it from a lot of athletes, though. I don't know how closely you've paid attention to it, though. But what is going on with Kyle Tucker in L.A.? Like, we've seen guys get the yips. We've seen baseball players get the yips. We've seen golfers get the yips. It looks like Kyle Tucker right now has forgotten how to play baseball.
You know, at first I was sort of gloating about this, Sylvie, because as you guys know, the first person I was saying a year ago now not to pay was Kyle Tucker. I don't believe Kyle Tucker's that kind of ball player. I know he's had some seasons where, you know, in the fallacy, in the foolishness of analytics, he, you know, looks like he's a five-tool player and a guy you want on your team. All that, fine. But to say that Kyle Tucker is the kind of player that I'm going to pay is it $400 million? What did the Dodgers wind up paying him?
It was 4 years, $240 million, right? $60 million a year.
$60 million a year. I'm not paying Kyle Tucker $60 million a year. And I told you guys that last year. And I know last year we thought the tenure, the length of contract was going to be longer. I'm not paying him that. He ain't that kind of ball player. I'm still trusting my eyes, and I'll take that over the idiots who would have tied themselves to what he's making over a six-year span, which is what some of them wanted to do. So I do now, though. Am I gloating? No, I'm not. Kyle Tucker seems like a nice enough fellow, hell of a ball player. And so, you know, but I'm not paying him that. And I think there's got to be pressure there. Of course, he would say there's not. And the people close to him would say, oh, no, BS. Of course there's pressure. He can't make routine plays. He looks awkward. He looks in over his head. When they boo you in Los Angeles, right. Not Philly. They boo you in Los Angeles. They're not even awake in Los Angeles to know what you've done. But to boo him like that, man, that's difficult. Let me tell you something. I think the Dodgers could get hit in the mouth right out of the gate in the playoffs by any of the following teams. Whoever, obviously, we don't know how it's going to shake out with wild card. Cubs, Brewers, Phillies, Braves, San Diego, Padres. You know, I think any of those teams could just pop the Dodgers. And I don't think the Dodgers are all that they're made up to be this year. And I would take any number of teams against them in this attempt to three-peat. And God knows the Dodgers are the team, a legitimate team to beat. I know they've had the betting odds, all that, all year long. The Dodgers, as of last night, I think were 5-10 going into that game in their last 15. I'll take all those, any one of those other teams. If they come out and swing out of the gate and get a game one, I'll take any one of those teams against the Dodgers.
I want to ask you this as we circle back a little bit to the Cubs and the Sox, because I asked the guys this earlier. You especially have seen it all here in Chicago. You know, I'm pretty fortunate to be old enough, too, to see championships from all of our teams. Well, the Cubs and Sox finally got that. The Bulls, I watched, win 6. So did you. The Blackhawks go on their run. You've seen other stuff as well from them. The two things that I've always said, Mike, that I've not seen is the Bears have a true star quarterback, and I think we're almost there. And the other one is a Cubs-Sox World Series. Do you believe?
I don't want to see that. I have no interest in seeing that.
Why do you not have an interest in seeing that?
Because it's bogus. It's selfish. It's self-indulgent. I have no interest in it. I saw when the Mets and the Yankees turned in the lowest World Series ratings in the history of the game. We think the Cubs and the White Sox would be any different?
No, but for us, but I know it's selfish, but like for our city, you don't think that that would be outstanding?
You know, maybe because I haven't lived my entire, every single day of my life in Chicago. I've lived enough other places, one. I have no interest in it. None, zero.
Wow.
No, I want to see them both in.
No interest.
I want to see them both in. None. I know I saw it. Cubs, Yankees, Mets. No. The rest of the country goes to sleep. Why do I want that? That's good for Chicago? No.
I don't care what the other country does. I'm a part of the country. I care about us. That's what I care about.
I care about us, not to want the rest of the country to turn go to sleep.
Do you care about the Bears and the Bengals on Saturday?
No.
Okay. How about the Bears and the Bengals on Thursday when they have their joint practice?
That's what I care less about. And I was very angry this morning at people I have great respect for, starting with the fact that they know way more than me. Listening to Lewis Riddick and listening to Hawkins. I wasn't angry at them specifically, but just listening to the position and actually agree with Hawk, because I want to call Lewis and say, hey, when he was getting on the teams about fighting, I'm like, what do you think is going to happen, bruh? They're going to fight. That's what they do. Every damn year, they fight. And Lewis was presenting a very professional, responsible. That's who Lewis is. He's professional and responsible every day of his life that I've known. No, don't ask. Lewis was so disappointed because the fellas fought. What? This is what they do. They're going to act irresponsibly and fight, and somebody's going to get hurt or come near getting hurt. And Lewis was like, oh, my God, they could get hurt. Really? They fight every time they have these stupid practices. They're not controlled by anybody. They're ridiculous. The league ought to be embarrassed. And the league does nothing. So the league will do something when the guy wears his socks too high, but they won't do any. Have they done anything about that fight yesterday?
That I don't know. I don't know if the league's responding. You're talking about the Saints and the Cowboys, right? Because there have been the Saints
They're
and the Cowboys.
Do anything with the Cowboys.
The Saints and the Cowboys aren't the only two teams that have shared the practice field so far. There have been plenty of teams that have had joint practices.
We watched the Bears the last couple of years. There have
no
been fights.
Yeah. So.
But because Ben was demonstrative about it.
Yes, right. Sure. Absolutely.
But the fight rate is still up around 20%. Whatever it is, it's scandalously high. And it's unnecessary. And they're not going to do anything about it.
All right, last thing for you. All right, here. I'm pissed at you, first of all. Admittedly, I got this news secondhand, okay? So you know how this happens with the telephone
game. Secondhand? What? Let me hear this.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know what's coming.
We were told, I think it was from Zetterman, that you said recently on some show, or maybe it was even on your show, that someone asked you the question, well, what if Tony retires or steps away? That you said you would think about doing the show, continuing it with Frank Asola. Like, why wouldn't you say you would think about doing the show with Waddle and Sylvie?
Because he'd rather do it with Frank Asola.
Why aren't we on the radar? Come here. Come on now for PTI.
So just give me an over-under on the number of PTIs you guys have hosted as subs so far.
We do our show
zero.
I'll answer
your question, Mike. Zero.
Yeah, you don't ask us.
Zero. Okay. So you guys want to move to D.C.? You're going to give up that big show? You're going to give up that Cubs, White Sox, all-in World Series to come to D.C. to do the show? Because I can tell you nobody's moving from here. I can tell you that.
Come on, we can't get you back full time here. Come on.
Let me say right now, if I can have my Waddle and Sylvie, if I can have that, I'll be throwing a big party, and you two will be the stars, and we'll figure it all out. I'll have Frank, you, and you two, and we'll figure that out. But I can also tell you that there's an entire studio of people, producers, and directors, and camera people and folks who've been working, some of them for all 25 years. It'll be 25 years next month, in October.
Wow.
25
That's
years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it is. And Frank, you know, Mike, you don't even have to.
He got his feelings hurt, okay? Well,
whose side are you on here?
You're not moving to Washington. You just want your tires pumped. That's all it is. You wanted a shout out.
Not only
you
that,
don't want to move out there and work.
Tommy, the last time he came here, he didn't even have time to get together with me for dinner.
Oh, see,
he was
there you go.
Seeing his probably with his VIPs and stuff.
It's not true. I haven't been to D.C. in like 30 years, probably. It's been a long time.
Not that long, is it?
Yeah.
But the Tony retiring thing comes up every year. Because Tony says every week, Tony says, I'm going to die on the job, and that's that. This is what he says. He says this. I'm too old. I'm unsightly. I'm going to die in the chair. and he does this, right? And I'm going to announce my retirement. And all the rest of us on the show just say, okay, you let us know. You let us know when that happens.
Just pull a prank on him.
We're thrilled. Yeah.
Mike, pull a prank on him and just announce on the air that you're retiring before he announces his retirement.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and just watch what he does when he realizes you're not going to be there.
I'd be scared.
Yeah.
I'd be scared that he would fall over if he heard this. That he'd be pranked to death. And so, yeah, so we've had this set up for a little while now, and it's great. It's great doing the show with Frank, all teasing aside. It's wonderful to do with Frank. Is like the last of the Mohicans, the last of the guys like Tony and me who did a bunch of stuff, who didn't excel in anything, who covered a lot of everything. And we're not going to go on and talk about, you know, on Get Up This Morning, the D in Dallas stands for. That's not what we do.
That's great.
That's not what we do.
Yeah, that's great.
And people should do what they do, but we're going to talk about baseball. We're going to talk about tennis and golf and at the beginning of September. We're going to talk about a lot of things that will not be what the Big D stands for, or to make people think they have to be interested in the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback.
That's right.
That's not what we do.
Yeah, I'm just, amen. It's very, that's a good rant at the end there. All right, Michael, have a great week, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
And you're going to get me in trouble with my own Southside people now?
Yes.
Because if I got to choose between Cubs or White Sox, you know where I'm going.
I can't believe you said no to it. Come on, it's going to be a 2-week party.
Yeah.
Nah.
I can't wait till people start texting you.
I'm going to catch. Oh, my God, the text I'm getting right now. My phone is chirping away.
Oh, really? Did Don text you saying, come on now, why would you ever say that?
Now, you know what? I'm going to ask my brother in 5 minutes. My guess is just a guess. My guess is Don's going to say,
No, I bet you opposite. If I know Don, and I don't, but if I know Don, I think Don is usually a little more reasonable than you.
Well, but you know what, though, Mark? The thing that we've got, the thing that Don and I have in common in this particular place, and I expect Tommy to back me up a little bit here. If you've lived somewhere else, you know that it's too much. It's just, like, you know, if the Cubs get eliminated, I'll be cheering for the White Sox like I did in 2005. I'll be cheering for the White Sox as hard as I can. But if it's one or the other, it's one or the other. But seeing them both, oh, my God, deliver me.
All right, we'll see you.
Thanks, Mike. Be good.
All right, you guys.
I love it. I love that he's getting texts. There you go.
The power of modeling. Definitely love
that. This is breaking news.
Wow,
brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group.
That was like a shot to the nuts.
On ESPN Chicago.
Local stuff?
Chicago's home for sports.
No, but yes.
Former player?
No, current player. This is from Adam Schefter. 2-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Vita Vea and the Bucks reached an agreement today on a 1-year extension for $30 million. So
not a
there
surprise.
Was the report the other day from Mike Garafolo that the Bears were kicking the tires on bringing in a Pro Bowler in Vita Vea, potentially trading for him, but that is no more.
All right, so he got a contract. He'd been
Marcus
doing the whole thing.
Davenport in. Instead.
That's right. That's right. Davenport party. All right, Doug, coming up next, Yurko does it again. We'll play you that. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I have time to play two things here, guys. Do we have a hard out today? There's no Bears Weekly, right? We don't have a Sox game.
You said hard out, right?
That's the technical term for hitting a certain time where you got to be off the air.
I thought I heard something else. There's something on.
No, that was FAFO. Yurko today. This was what they were talking about. How many people stuck around, I believe, after the rain delay. Do you hear the beginning part of it where... Carmen asked Jack that because Jack was there with Tyler after Tyler got abandoned by his friend during the rain delay. So those two met up and listened to Carmen and Yurko this morning on Carmen and Yurko.
Yeah, but you stuck it out?
I stuck it out.
If you could ballpark,
I would say about half.
Pardon the pun. About half?
About half.
So
stuck it out.
What,
maybe
you got about,
even a
about 18,000 people in there at the end?
Yes, it was a very different atmosphere than it was during the first half of the game when it was packed and everybody was on edge for every pitch.
A few moments later.
Found Tyler and sat by Tyler in his seats that were covered. So he didn't have to move.
Tyler was there though. Yeah, he didn't have to
budge.
How
many people left?
About half, he said.
50%?
Yeah.
Half?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Well, I'm just making sure, you know.
Is that what you're doing?
I
love Carmen saying, oh, is that what you're doing? He busted his balls again.
We all get caught doing it.
It's the best. Like, he can't give you anything better in that situation than what he gave you there. Like, I don't look at it as a fault. I look at it as a gift.
It is.
It's a gift.
Happens to all of us.
This was Jeff.
Sometimes more than others.
I sent you guys this yesterday. This was Jeff Halfley. If you remember the name Jeff Halfley, used to coach your team, Boston College.
That's right.
Was the defensive coordinator for the Packers last year. Part of that coaching crew hated Ben. But now he's quoting Ben, and he's using it in his own. I'm not saying that Ben originated the phrase, no block, no rock. But he famously said that right at his introductory press conference. And Halfley tries at the podium to say, how do you like that? How do you like my saying? Like, take a listen to this.
What do you mean? They better block. If they don't
Some
block.
Some receivers don't like the block.
Yeah, I mean, those our receivers are going to block. No block, no rock. How about that one?
How about that one?
Did you just come up with that, or is that
the thing? No, I've heard Matt say it a few times, or Kyle. So sorry, I didn't mean to steal it. It just popped into my head. But our receivers are, I mean, they're going to block. That's the standard, and they've done a really good job.
So it goes on. Like, Ben was so he's crediting Matt LaFleur saying it. We may have a trademark situation between LaFleur and Ben
Johnson. Listen, he's coaching the Dolphins now, right? We face the Dolphins, so you get a little frosty handshake down there as well.
That will be interesting to see if that translates to, not because of his quote, but because of the Packer stuff.
I think that Ben's got enough gas for LaFleur and LaFleur only.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. I think he's got enough gas for everyone.
He does, but I don't think this one will drift to Miami. I think he wants to focus on LaFleur.
All right. Cubs and Sox, huge success. Sox win today 3-0. They split the season series at 3-3. And both teams' season continues to go well. Thank you today. We had a ton of people. Cap joined us. Carmen joined us. Meller joined us. Jesse Rogers. Michael Wilbon. I don't think I'm missing anybody. Tomorrow we'll have the Antoine Randall Al interview. What day is Big Cat coming up, Tyler?
Friday. Joni X tomorrow.
All right, Joni X tomorrow. Big Cat on Friday, since we missed him today. Thanks to Charlie. Thanks to Tyler. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
Drive home safe to Chicago. Beep, beep.
Waddle, he's gone.
Really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holds.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.